Good evening and welcome. You're watching NDTV. This is Left, Right and Center. It's a special one-hour edition where we are tracking three stories. Story number one, two Omicron cases have been reported now in India. There are many unknowns of the new variant, some questions also, because these were cases that were tested about a week ago. Only the report has come out now. It's been made public now. Do we know very little about this new variant? And what do we know, and how much of that information must be publicly shared? Because otherwise it will spread panic, which should not be spread. At the same time, we should also not have a situation where people take it lightly. We've seen what has happened in the sector. So a detailed discussion in just a short moment from now. Story number two. You see, in Western UP, which was the fortress of the BJP in 2014, 17, 19, now it seems, because Western UP has been the center for the farmers' agitation, the epicenter rather, the BJP did try, the government did try with a lot of development schemes, an airport in Jewar, a university here, a university there, but eventually they came back to talking temples. The deputy chief minister said it's now turn of Mathura. So how should this temple talk be seen? Can temple talk save BJP is West UP fortress? We'll explain in great detail what I've just said in just a short moment from now. And in a little about 30 or 35 minutes from now, we'll get you an exclusive conversation with Congress MP Manish Tiwari. He's written a book. Remember that book came into the news also. Some excerpts came out on what he felt about 2611 and how India should have responded. 10 flashpoints, 20 years, national security situations that impacted India. It's an exclusive conversation on that book with my colleague Vishnu Som. That's up in about 35 to 40 minutes from now. But first, let's begin with our top focus, two Omicron cases. And what do they mean and how much information do we know? The fact that we know very little is actually also proving to be a big problem. I want to introduce Dr. Shahid Jameel, he's a virologist. Dr. Rahul Pandit, member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force. In just a short moment, we'll have Dr. Vishal Rao, Dean of the Center for Academic Research and also a member of the expert committee, COVID Task Force, Government of Karnataka. Dr. Chandrakant Laharia, epidemiologist and health system specialist. Dr. Trupti is an infectious diseases physician at the Unison Medicare, Messina and Prince Ali Khan Hospitals, Mumbai. Thank you very much to all of you for joining us. Dr. Jameel, I want to begin with you first. Two cases that have been reported today. First of all, if you could tell our viewers, what do we know exactly about this variant? What? Its virality, whether it's effective against, whether vaccines are effective against it. Can you share what we know? Because right now there's a huge problem on information.
Well, Sanket, thank you for having me on your program.
My pleasure.
First of all, we know very little about it. Much of what you hear is speculation and fear-mongering. Actual data is very limited. What we do know at this point is that and again, studies coming out of South Africa in the past 1 week, that this variant may be a little more infectious than Delta. And the numbers I have seen is possibly about 30% more infectious than Delta. Beyond that, reports coming out on severity say that it's likely to cause very mild infection. And finally, on vaccine effectiveness, there is actually no data available yet. Labs are working. And I believe in the next 7 to 10 days, we will have the first data on laboratory studies for vaccine effectiveness. That is the fact right now. Everything else is speculation.
All right, Dr. Pandit, you see, now we've seen that these are cases, two cases that have been reported in Karnataka, your state, of which you are a part of the, you are a part of the COVID task force in your state, is a neighboring state. We have seen that the last wave emanated from your state. We saw these variants What has your understanding been? And more importantly, how can we get accurate information and more information about this variant?
So I think this is a very pertinent question, Sanket. So first of all, I would like to say that accurate information needs to come from ground, which is South Africa right now. We need to talk to doctors there, the medical associations there, who can actually give us the correct information of how the patients are behaving. They are treating at least hundreds of patients, if we know, if not thousands. We also know from a public health standpoint that this is a more infectious virus than the one which was before. The fact of this, just as Dr. Jameel Ahmed just, Shahid Jameel just said about it, as well as the fact that it has replaced the Delta variant to a significant extent in South Africa. So we need to be very, very careful, but there is no need to panic. I don't think we need to panic and create fear among people. We should be very, very measured in our response. And the best measure for the response right now would be to go back to our basics, wear a mask and get ourselves vaccinated. I think these are the two things we need to propagate. Everything else, we'll have to give the COVID appropriate behavior 2 or 3 weeks to sort of come across with its own understanding of the virus, say, from South Africa. Till we understand what are the clinical symptoms and how is the clinical state varying for these patients who are infected.
That's right. Before I go across to Dr. Trupti as well as Dr. Laharia, let me quickly play out the reaction that came in from the health minister of Karnataka, because both the patients who have been diagnosed with or have been identified as having been infected with this new variant are from Karnataka. Let's listen into what the health minister of Karnataka had to say.
Luckily, none of them are presenting any serious symptoms. They're all having a mild degree of infection with actually no significant symptoms as such. No, he does not have any travel history. Maybe he has come in contact with somebody who had a travel history. We are completely tracking and trying to understand the case.
So, Dr. Laharia, you see, in these two cases, tests were done, and these two cases pertain to, I think, the 22nd, which is about 10 odd days ago, more than a week ago. And repeated tests were done, and then the government came to the conclusion that, yes, these are the two positive cases of the new variant. Now, my point is, while this is happening, do you think that there is a great amount of curiosity over how a person may have been infected with the new variant if he did not even come into contact with anyone or he did not even go abroad? How did he get this new variant?
So, Sanket, thank you very much for the invitation. I think the current discourse on Omicron variant has some of the uncanny similarity to what we had seen in March 2020, like 21 months ago. While a number of things have changed, so 21 months, we have a better understanding of the virus, and this is just a variant, not a new virus. Second change is that a number of people have already been infected. Delta variant is widely circulating. Third, there has been a widespread vaccination. So we have a better understanding of this thing. We also know that by the time a variant is identified, it might have circulated to different countries and different parts of the world. So clearly, this particular case, which has no travel history, indicate that he must have come in contact with someone who has this variant, which essentially means there would be some more people who have got infection with this particular variant. But I also want to bring another point that we are, though, hearing a lot about this is highly transmissible, and it might be. But we also need to remember that many of the primary and secondary contacts of the cases which have been reported, which are far and few for Omicron variant, are not positive for Omicron variant, which also indicate that it may not be as transmissible as it is. So one of the challenge which is currently happening is that people a week ago had said something and in a superlative terms or a said that it is highly transmissible, and they want to adhere to the position they had taken a week ago. But I think the things have changed. This is not called serious disease. At least whatever we are talking based upon current knowledge. So it is not known to cause serious disease. It does not appear it is highly transmissible. But even if it is, in the context of a high transmission setting, the vaccination which has happened over a period of time, the transmissibility has a limited meaning. So we should be using the available epidemiological information to derive solution which should be commensurate to the current understanding and current challenge.
Okay. Dr. Trupti, you see the one possible protection, of course, this is the definite protection, is to wear masks. But apart from that, the second most important way to protect yourself is vaccination. Now, we do not as of this moment know whether all vaccines are effective in stopping this variant. You've got very confusing and mixed signals coming in from vaccine manufacturers also. I'm not talking in the Indian context, but internationally. So at a time like this, what does one do?
So what we need to understand is that even though the vaccine is not, we're not talking about, there might be,
Seems to be some problem with Dr. Trupti's audio. Dr. Trupti, my apologies. We're going to come back to you. There's a bit of a problem in your audio. Dr. Jameel, would you like to take that one? Would you like to answer that question?
Yes, certainly. The first point is, if there is a vaccine manufacturer that is telling you that new vaccines will be required without any background data and is simply speculating, take it with not just a pinch of salt, but a lot of salt. Vaccine responses, all vaccines give multi-site responses. It's very unlikely that all the sites will be mutated at the same time and therefore vaccines will become completely ineffective. Yes, I agree that looking at the mutations, it is possible that vaccine effectiveness will dip down a little bit. How much is difficult to predict. Let us wait for the tests. But to say that vaccines will become completely ineffective against Omicron is, in my view, nothing but fear-mongering. So I don't believe that. What the Indian government, in the India's context, should do, and one of the things it should do, is try to give as many people 2 jabs as possible. And one way of achieving that is to reduce the duration between the 2 doses for Covishield down from 16 weeks to maybe 12 weeks. We don't have any problem of vaccine supply right now. We know that we have a healthcare system that is capable of delivering a large number of doses every day. Let's get on with it. Let's do it.
Yes, that's very, very significant. Dr. Pandit, I want to come to you on that crucial point. Do you feel that the gap between these 2 doses has to or can be reduced, number one? And number two, just speed up the process of vaccination. I mean, it's one can sense that we've entered into some form of either complacency or, there's a general slowdown as far as vaccinating people post the 100 crore mark.
I think in the last couple of days, if you look at the data, the vaccination certainly has picked up pace. A lot of people have now come out and taken their second dose, which they had missed out. As well as I was just looking at the Mumbai data some time ago, and we could see that even the first dose takers have increased. So there is certainly an increase in the vaccination. As far as the 2 dose gap is concerned, yes, that's one of the theories which certainly would help into speeding up the vaccination process. But the problem here was never the gap. The problem here was that the Delta variant wave died down towards the month of September, October, and people probably just did not bother to take their second dose. That was probably the primary reason why people avoided taking second dose. And yes, you could also say that 3 months is long enough for people to forget to take the second dose. That's one way of doing it. But I think the data is quite clear. The government of India is quite clear on their stand that we need to keep the gap at the moment at 3 months' time. I think we need to follow the government directives for now and just wait for more data to emerge. If we can actually reduce the gap, so be it. Quickly, we will be able to vaccinate more people. There is no doubt about that.
Yes, we'll come to the all-crucial point on booster shots in just a short moment. But just taking a cue from what Dr. Pandit just said of vaccinations, at least in Maharashtra, picking up some pace, that may not necessarily be, the national story or the national picture. But in Maharashtra, before I come back to you very quickly, vaccinations have gone up after the Omicron scare and the threat of a new variant has increase the pace of vaccinations in Maharashtra, where people seem to be coming back to the vaccination centers that were, in fact, for a very long time vacant, fearing vaccine wastage. Let's take a look at this report and then I'll come back.
The Omicron variant of COVID can be thanked for this queue for vaccinations. Same place a fortnight earlier when private vaccination centers were completely empty.
वो टाइम नहीं था ऑफिस था एवरीथिंग मतलब शिफ्टिंग था घर का शिफ्टिंग था अभी क्या जरा टाइम मिल गया सब कुछ काम हो गया है तो हिसाब से ले रहे हैं
मेरा शिफ्ट चालू था ऑफिस का 1 to 10:30 बीच में एकदम
The average daily vaccinations over the last 3 days are well over 10 lakh doses up from around 5 to 6 lakh doses in mid November Doctors see this as a silver lining of Omicron
Omicron नाम का नया स्ट्रेन डिटेक्ट हुआ है कोविड-19 वायरस का तो उसकी वजह से जो है लोगों के मन में डर जो पैदा हुआ है वो इसके लिए रिस्पॉन्सिबल दिख रहा है और लास्ट वन वीक में जो नंबर ऑफ पेशेंट्स या नंबर ऑफ बेनिफिशरीज जो थे जो वैक्सीन के लिए आ रहे वो काफी मात्रा में बढ़ गए हैं जो वैक्सीनेशंस के लिए लिमिटेड नंबर्स हो रहे थे वो अभी ऑलमोस्ट 5 to 10 times बढ़ गए हैं
कई सारे लोग जिन्होंने की फर्स्ट डोज भी नहीं लिया था वो भी लेने को आ रहे हैं जिन्होंने सेकेंड डोज अपना मिस किया था जिनका सेकेंड डोज ड्यू है वो लोग भी आके वैक्सीन लेके जा रहे हैं
In Mumbai, with Pooja Bhardwaj, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
Okay, Dr. Trupti, I believe, is now back with us. Dr. Trupti, you see, vaccinations, but a doubt whether they will be effective or not, because we do not know. But at the same time, some vaccine is better than no vaccine, is a larger sense that you get when you speak to representatives in the government and even doctors. What is your view?
That's absolutely right. When we say that Omicron might be vaccine evading, it's not like it's going to be 0% vaccine efficacy. What we're talking about is it might be slightly lesser. But what is also important to remember is it's not going to be difficult for the vaccine production companies to tweak the vaccine a little bit. You know, that was always in the plan. So the next vaccine for each of the different companies will include some protection for the Omicron variant as well. And that will take probably a few weeks. So whenever we go in for the booster dose, that could be the next vaccine that we will get, the second generation vaccine.
The important question now, Dr. Laheria, is it now inevitable and are we delaying the inevitable as far as booster shots are concerned?
The emergence of Omicron has reminded us that there is a far bigger role of ensuring that everyone receives their first shot and then second shot. We also need to remember that this is not the reason enough. The emergence of new variant is not the reason enough to argue for a booster shot.
Okay.
The reason is simple. We know that the currently used COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent from infection. They prevent from moderate to severe illness, hospitalization and mortality. And now what we are hearing that this new variant does not cause those severe, those kind of outcomes. So essentially the additional benefit of booster is not going to be anything. What is the challenge and why this variant or any future variant emerge? Because there are populations which are unvaccinated and that is what should be the aim, not only in one country in India, but all across the world. So purpose has to be ensuring first and second shot in every part of the world. So if a country has sufficient vaccine supply, it should be sharing the vaccine with others rather than giving
True.
Boosters.
True.
So it is definitely not a time for booster. When a booster should be given, to whom, at what interval, that should be independent process determined by available scientific data and evidence.
Okay. Now, I asked you this question because many countries have started the process. So we have some international experience, for us to take a call on this. Dr. Pandit Dr. Jameel. Yes, sorry. You were saying.
I quickly want to come to that, though number of countries started booster shot, but when the new variant emerged and we have seen that they were not any better off than the countries which have not started booster shots. So
Okay. This
is also another reminder that booster is not the solution. Sharing the vaccines with the country which need vaccine is
but
a solution.
As is
an
the
example.
But as is the case with most things related to this new variant, we do not have proper information about this fact as well also, whether booster shots work or not. Dr. Pandit, what is your view?
So I think we need to differentiate between the booster dose and an additional dose.
Okay.
So additional dose would be probably needed for people who are immunocompromised and who never mounted a good response after the two doses of vaccine, despite taking two doses of vaccine. They may require an additional dose. That's a different, we need to differentiate that from a booster dose. My thoughts on booster dose are more or less same to what Dr. Lahiria just said. I think our narrative should be to get people vaccinated doubly as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Yes, discussion about booster needs to happen, no doubt about that. There's one more different set of population in this, and that is the one who have had two doses of vaccine and COVID-19 infection as well. I think for them, it has already acted like a booster dose. So they may probably be the one who would probably can easily wait for a longer time.
So anyone who has got the infection and has completed the double dose, consider yourself as having got a booster dose or an additional dose.
Probably equal amount of immunity is given to their T cells. The memory cells are good enough, I think.
Okay, okay. Dr. Vishal Rao is a member of the expert committee, COVID Task Force, Government of Karnataka is now also with us. Dr. Rao, you know, this is a question that is being asked of many representatives of the Karnataka government, that were we late in detecting patients with this infected with the new variant? The fact that this is not a recent case.
Yeah, Sanket, good evening. I think the Genomic Surveillance Committee and the INSACOG has constantly been at vigil over the last 3 months, even when the cases have been very low. So even over the last 3 months, regularly the ministry has been monitoring the genomics, the kind of variants that we are seeing, the Delta subtypes and all of it. And the moment that the WHO alert has come in about the Omicron, I think immediately they have started sequencing, and I think in a couple of days they've been able to pick this up. So I would rather say that they've been actually quite quick in terms of understanding and picking up the samples and giving the report, because earlier this would take a couple of months. You know, we would come to know after about 1.5-2 months. Now it's just been a few days and we've been able to pick up this. And we're doing the same in all other clusters, like the Dharwad cluster and other clusters. They've quickly isolated the strain. They've given the thing that it's a Delta strain. So this kind of an approach is actually helping, because this is what maybe every state would need to adopt, of having a quick genomic surveillance committee working with the INSACOG.
But you know, Dr. Rao, my only question over here is that surely you would agree that these are only the two cases that you have been able to identify and detect. I'm sure the spread would have been more or is more. In a situation like this, what can be done, say, by neighboring states, a collaboration between, say, Karnataka and Maharashtra, because this is where we have seen that most of these new variants are often spoken about. You saw the Delta wave in the month of February 2021. We saw it emanating from parts of Maharashtra. Similarly, this one, you've got these cases identified in Karnataka. So what do you do? What sort of coordination do you seek?
So I think at this juncture, between states, the genomic surveillance teams are actually needing to share more data to understand the patterns of movements, more strengthening of restrictions at travels, especially across borders. And thirdly, I would say that, you know, today even the WHO has given us some direction that using this S gene target failure or dropout, which they used in alpha detection earlier in the UK, could be helpful rather than going and putting the entire burden on genomic surveillance, where even with RT-PCR, you could actually pick up the Omicron if it is suspicious. That is, you know, typically you check the N and the E gene, but if you also check the S gene and if there is a dropout, it could be a proxy indicator, not a confirmatory, but a proxy indicator. And those kind of patients would need to go sequencing. So that way you don't overburden sequencing and don't create a panic among people that every time that you get some suspicious symptom, you want to do a genomic sequencing.
All right. Dr. Rao, Dr. Jameel, Dr. Pandit, Dr. Lahiria, as well as Dr. Trupti, thank you very much for joining us on this broadcast. We also have Professor Devi Sridhar. She's a professor and chair of global public health at the Edinburgh University Medical School. Thank you very much, Professor Sridhar. First question, what information do we have on this new variant?
Well, I think right now we don't have much information on the variant. We know first that it is infectious, but we don't know if it's more infectious than Delta. We know that people can get infected, though they're fully vaccinated. We don't know if that's severe infection or it'll be mild infection. And we don't fully understand what this means in terms of health outcomes for those who are unvaccinated. So I think we'll have answers to those, but it's going to take probably 10 days to get more information.
Professor Sridhar, travel restrictions seem to be back. That seems to be our response as we are trying to figure out and get more information on this new variant. It seems to be the very same response. We seem to be mirroring our response of March 2020. How different can the response be this time around, given the fact that we have about 20-odd months of experience?
Well, it's very difficult because we know travel restrictions, that's one of the things we've seen, can delay spread, but they can't really stop it. And we're seeing that as more and more cases crop up from everywhere, from California to South Korea to India. This variant is going to be everywhere. And the question then is it going to be pose a real problem for governments, or could it be, let's say, fading away compared to Delta? I think the other lesson is sequencing, having the capability to detect these variants. And we know South Africa was the first to raise the flag to the world, and to be able to have that capacity to be able to test enough samples to understand which variant they are.
Are we aware how lethal this new variant can be?
I don't think we know very much. We have heard of people being infected having mild illness, but these have generally been younger people or people who, let's say, the sample's not large enough. It's a handful of people. So I think we'll get that data in the next 1 or 2 weeks. The most important thing will be about its transmissibility. Does it become the dominant strain, or is Delta going to stay dominant? And the second part is around the vaccines.
Yes.
Can the vaccines still protect against severe illness, keep people out of hospital, let them have a mild illness at home? Or will this result in people still getting very ill like they would have before? So I think those are the two things that we're going to have to wait and get more information on in these next 2 weeks.
You know, that was to be my next question. Do we have any information on whether existing vaccines work? Because, you know, one tends to get very conflicting opinion from vaccine manufacturers.
Yeah, so we've had conflicting messages. We know the Moderna CEO has come out saying he doesn't think the vaccine will offer great protection. And then the Pfizer CEO coming out saying he does think it will. Mm. Both are making claims without having the real data. The real proof will be when this virus is tested against the vaccines, when we do population studies, look at who comes into hospital, what variant are they infected with, when were they vaccinated with what vaccine. When that is collected for enough individuals, then you can form a picture of actually what is happening in real time with this virus. And we still just don't have that information.
All right. My final question, as of this moment, with so less information on this new variant, you think the only saving grace will be that humble mask?
Well, it is extremely difficult, and in some way it's harder now than it was in January 2020, because in January 2020, we could look at Wuhan, we could look at South Korea and Taiwan, and other countries could see this virus emerging, get enough data out to have some contours of what they were facing, where this is just, a handful of cases reported first out of South Africa, and then many other countries finding them, but not yet kind of a clear picture of what this actually means. So what can each of us do? I mean, face masks when you're in crowded spaces, try to limit your contacts for the next week or two so you're not around other people, because we know it spreads as soon as people are in close contact. Maybe if you're over 60 or in a more vulnerable group, the WHO has recommended limiting your travel, just waiting. And getting tested if you're unwell so that they can do the sequencing to find out what variant it is. So these are the kind of steps we can do now in the next week or two to just buy time to understand in 2 weeks what's the larger strategy with this virus. Hopefully it is milder. Hopefully it fades away and Delta remains dominant. Hopefully the vaccines are still very effective. But those are still hopefully right now in front of those not actual facts.
True. Professor Sridhar, Director of the Global Health GP, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you. All right, let's take a look at few questions on the Ku app. Shruti says, why have the international flights not been banned yet? Then Vivek has a comment. He says, COVID is not a fearful topic for people these days. Still, many people, including educated ones, are not even informative about the Omicron variant. I feel our system is not clear about these new challenges. So that's an opinion which seems to be a larger opinion. See, the thing is, and the truth is, in all the traveling that we have done for our shows, the moment you get out of the municipal limits of Delhi or a Mumbai, suddenly mask becomes a very, very scarce property in fighting this virus. And that's the real problem.